going like this myself. Here comes Sim Yoder. I'm sure it's him. He's going to give me a hug. But then, as he got closer, I saw he wasn't looking at me. And he was looking beyond me, and he walked straight past, and he had a big necktie. And he went and hugged another lady down the... Just in case anybody thought that was Sim, it wasn't Sim. It was somebody else. I was totally... You can imagine how little I felt, how waving at this fella so enthusiastically. Well, then later we met Sim, of course. He drove up and he recognized us, and he looked out the vehicle and he went like this. And I saw him for the first time, and he was short, but not fat, short and sweet. Yeah, so just in case I clarified that there. For you who were here last evening, listen to the message. Why I think this poem that Brother Keith gave me will bless you. I'm just going to read it. It's called Drinking from My Saucer. I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now. But I don't worry much about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough. But I've got loved ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed, because I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke, the sun peeped through again. So God help me not to gripe about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I've already been blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I was really blessed with that poem that the brother gave to me, and thought I would just share that before we go into the message. Another children's song. Sing with me. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me, if you follow me, if you follow me. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. And if you don't follow me, can you imagine those fishermen there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus came on the scene? There must be that they had some contact and they knew about Jesus. It has to be. I think that's the way it would seem in the Bible. Can you imagine when Jesus told them to just drop fishing, which was their living, it was their life, it was their whole life circled around that little fishing project they had? Can you imagine Jesus walking up to them and saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men? Sometimes we get this concept that being a fisher of men is a call that God puts on certain people. You have to be an apostle, or you have to be some kind of evangelist or some minister to be a fisher of men. I would like to challenge you tonight with this message that this is more than just for the disciples. But can you imagine them when that challenge is thrown at them? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they probably didn't even understand what all that meant at that point, but they dropped everything. They dropped their nets, they dropped their boats, they dropped their ties with their families. James and John, you know, old Zebedee, he just, I don't know what he thought when his boys walked off on him. And let everything sit and follow Jesus to learn to become fishers of men. You know, if we follow Jesus, we will become fishers of men. If we don't follow him, it's our decision. If we decide not to follow him, we don't have to be fishers of men. And the question tonight is, can I follow Jesus and not be a fisher of men? Let's look at the context here of what's happening in Matthew chapter 4. The verse we're looking at here, 19, when it says, when he first said to Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. But let's go back now and see the context of what's happening here. Let's go back to verse 12. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he was walking by the sea and met these men and gave them that special call to become fishers of men. I would like to invite you tonight to become part of the drama of following Jesus and being a fisher of men. The essence of being a missionary is following Jesus and bringing light to a dark world. Now here it talks about two cities, and I didn't do any research. What was it about the land of Zebulun and Naphtalim that made it so dark? What was the situation? I don't know. But we don't have to go very far in Dublin, Georgia, or Huaslala, Nicaragua, or wherever you live. You don't have to go far to find darkness, to find places where things are really dark and people don't fear God. What a blessing tonight. I just, as we were singing and I was just thinking of this thought of fellowship, what a blessing we have to, like Brother Sim said, to be among people that fear God, to be among people that love God, to be among a people that actually take his word seriously and are serious about obeying God because they love them, like we heard last evening. What a blessing to be surrounded by family, Christian family. But there's so many people out there that don't have that. Today we went to Walmart. My wife and I like to go shopping every time we come. Just, you know, one day, just an hour and a half, my wife says, just a little bit, you know. Go up and down those aisles and pick up that stuff, you know, and see how the billfold goes, you know, how we can do that, you know. And we love it. I was watching the people. I enjoy going with my wife. She always has this thing because I'm quickly, you know, let's go. I need to get home and prepare the message. I only said it once this time. But I'm watching the people, and to see all these people, and the thing that I saw that struck me was they were coming, there was a family coming to the checkout counter, and it was a big man, big burly man, and his wife, and they had one little boy. You know, you can't have too many. Oh, they're so hard to take care of. And this little boy probably did not get the Christmas gift he wanted. I don't know what the deal was, but this little boy was very upset, and he was crying. He was pretty well screaming, tell you, I was embarrassed for this man because he got angry. And he started tearing into that boy verbally right in the middle of Walmart. I was a ways away. I wasn't even able to hear everything. But I saw a child that's so spoiled. He's putting up a fight, and I saw a daddy going down to his level and fighting back. So can you imagine if they do that in Walmart, what they do at home? Can you imagine the home situation? You don't have to go far to find darkness. And we as the people of God have something to offer. And let's call it light. Let's call it truth. And these things, it's so broad, you know, but the essence is to bring love to people. The light and the glory of the Lord Jesus to people. That's what being a fisher of men is all about. And Jesus came into these areas, and these dark areas saw the light. And there was revival in a lot of these places. You know, people were converted. And later when the Holy Spirit came and the apostles went out, you know, that people were ripe for revival. It's a drama. It's that we can be involved in. And the call to be a fisher of men, yes. I'm agreed that the Apostle Paul, for example, or the 12 apostles were chosen in a way beyond that most of we will. Jesus was in ministry for 3 years, full time, pretty well. I mean, he'd sneak off and try to find some time alone. The Apostle Paul dedicated his life, decided to be single, and dedicated his life to being a fisher of men. And most of us won't be called to that extent. But tonight, I just like to challenge you, including the sisters. We're all fishers of men. It's a calling that God puts on everybody that he chooses to follow him. Because if we follow Jesus, that's what it's all about. Taking light to people in a dark world, reaching out to people who, you know what, a lot of people can't even understand what we are enjoying. And I see that again and again, especially like in the airports when some of us come through and we have big families and we look weird and people just, you know, just stare at us. Well, I wonder how these people tick. They must be, well, on the way up in the airport, there was two Mormons right beside me, big, handsome guys with their suits on, and there was some ladies talking, and my wife and I were there. It's just a unique little situation, and they started talking about the women that have all these babies, like the Mormons. And some of these Mormons, they get married before they're 20. Most Mormons get married before they're 20. I didn't know that, but the Mormons were just like this, listening. And then the other lady said, or like the Amish. And there we were, you know, beachy Amish, whatever, you know. You know, they can't even understand the concepts that we live by. It's becoming to the place where this culture, the TV culture and whatever, it's coming to the place where they can't even understand holiness. We're becoming weirder all the time. Praise the Lord. But our duty is to turn around and somehow fish for these people. We are fishers of men, and we are called to walk with Jesus. Now, it's not literal. He's not here anymore. But he left those 12 apostles, and then later the Apostle Paul was involved. And, you know, the scriptures, it's all there. We walk with Jesus every day. That's the essence of being a missionary. A fisher of men is walking with Jesus and making a difference in this world. Taking light to people that live in darkness. Showing them love. Showing them the beauty of the gospel. They saw great light. And in the region and shadow of death, light sprung up. And we can be part of this drama. You know, we Mennonites emphasize the lifestyle. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the Mennonites' emphasis on being a light. I live in Waslala. And I live a stone's throw, a little bit more, that's exaggerating a little bit, from Esquina Caliente. That means hot corner. And hot corner, you have to go there and be there to understand what hot corner is all about. But you can find about anything in hot corner. And I just live across the river on a little hill and an oasis that God has given us. And it's so easy for us as a family to just enjoy our time together. We, oh, so many similarities to Sim's family. Sim, you just make me homesick. Two children at home, like we are now after most of my girls got married in a year's time, three of them. I only had four. And we just love that little oasis there. We just have these family times. We sit out in the yard and sing, or sometimes we're in the house. Yeah, we're human. We have our scraps too, and then we say we're sorry. But we have something that is so beautiful. Sometimes I tell my family, sometimes I have tears in my eyes, and I say, this isn't even fair. It's not even right. I'm looking forward to the time over Christmas where we're having a family gathering, and we're going to be out there in the yard, and it's going to be about full moon, and we're going to have this wonderful time. What a blessing. I thank the Lord every day for my family. They're following the Lord. And for the blessings we have as a Christian family. But just across the way is Hot Corner. And I tell my family the only way that I can enjoy this evening, the only way that I can just live it up with you in all the blessings that God has given us is when we as a family are willing to go out there and share what we've got. That's the only way. We're fishers of men. There's a lot of men out there, a lot of women out there, a lot of children, a lot of young people, a lot of grandpas out there living in darkness. And we have found the light. That light has sprung up in our hearts, and we've learned to live in the light. We've learned to follow Jesus. And along with that, so many, many blessings. Brethren, I appreciate the emphasis on being a light. And I know that, for example, in Waslala, us just living there and just walking the streets. We go to church, my wife and I, and we hold hands as we walk down the street. And we are not ashamed of holding hands. We're old and wrinkly, been married over 30 years, and I hold her hand. And that in itself is a testimony of Waslala, because nobody holds hands unless it's some boyfriend and girlfriend that are audacious enough, if you say, I don't know how to say the words in English, to hold hands, but even our brethren that are converted, they still have a hard time. They just can't hold hands because it's just not the custom. You don't do that. When you're walking down the street, the husband walks ahead and the wife comes behind. And she's usually carrying the biggest load. So we break the cultural practices, but those little things speak. And I hear my little whiffs here and there. There's so many things that speak in your life, the way you do your business, the way you respond when the check bounces, Sam. I don't know what you told that man on the phone the other day, but you sounded really kind. Bless you. There's so many ways that our life speaks. And brethren, if we lose that, there's not much left. There's not much left. But tonight I would like to encourage you this weekend. I'd like to encourage you. Let's go a little bit beyond that. God gave us mouths to speak with also. And he talks about the sacrifice of our lips. I don't know how it says in English. In Spanish it says el sacrificio de los labios. The sacrifice of our lips. God wants us Mennonites to learn to use our lips also. And to speak. Because we are fishers of men. It'd be interesting to ask you people here, you men on this side, it'd be interesting to ask each one of you what your occupation is. Now, when I came in with Sim from the airport. Sim, I didn't tell you why. There was two things why I knew you were a farmer. One was that cup with the big old John Deere on it. But there was another reason I knew you were a farmer. Should I say this? Your pants were dirty. And I didn't smell the silage, but I can now. Farmers. There's a constructor, huh? You can go down the road. There's some computer whizzes in here, I think, probably. You know, we all find our niche in life and how what we can do to make our livings. That's important. But brethren, first of all, we need to be fishers of men. Over and beyond all that, which is not bad. Women, some of them are seamstresses, some teach school, and most of them are mamas, you know, stay at home and, doing those dishes again and again. But, you know, that's a high calling. Oh, that's a wonderful calling. You know, that's outreach. Who spends most time with the children when they grow up? Who kisses their bruises? Who changes their clothes? And who spends most time teaching and giving them an example and raising the children? It's the mamas. And then when we have our church growing with wonderful young people that serve the Lord, we wonder how in the world that worked. And we look at the fathers and we say, bless you, brother. But we have to say, bless you, mother. But that's a ministry. That's a calling. It's a wonderful thing. It's that outreach that you dare not neglect, even to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Because if we lose the blessings we have in our families, what do we have left? When life gets rough, like it always does. Oh, especially when there's church problems. Anybody over here like church problems? Church problems. But I've often told my family, you know, as long as I've got Jesus in my heart and I've got you around me, I don't care what happens in life. I can face anything. Let's please not lose that, brethren. But can we go beyond? Can we take our families and remind them of the darkness around them? Can we teach our families about being fishers of men? Can we get them excited about sharing the blessings that we have and reaching out? It's a high calling. It's a calling for all of us. We could like to ask the children, I like to ask the boys, what do you want to be when you get big? One says, I want to be a school teacher. And the other says, I want to be a farmer like my daddy. That's what most of them say, you know, the little ones. The big ones, I don't want to be a farmer like my daddy. I want to be something else. But first of all, and most important, we obey God. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We love Jesus back. We're back at the pond, brethren. We're back at the pond. The pebble falls. The love of Christ comes into our hearts. And we love him back. We obey him as a response to that love. That's the way we love God back. That's the way God's love is perfected, as we heard last night. God's love is perfect, but we can perfect it. We can make it more perfect when we fulfill what it was meant for. So when we love God back, we obey his commandments. That's perfecting God's love. And one of the commandments is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the second way to perfect God's love, is according to 1 John chapter 4, is to love each other. To reach out and to love others. We're perfecting God's love because it was meant to be shared. So we dare not selfishly take this God's love and just hoard it for ourselves and neglect what's around us. So first of all, we love God, we follow Christ, we obey his commandments, and we are fishers of men. So I'm not going to complain about whatever career you chose as long as top priority is the Lord Jesus Christ and being a fisher of men. And one of the things that I enjoy and appreciate very much is when a man's career makes it possible for him to be in contact with people in need. As you choose your career, young men, think about it. Think about it. Now, the other day, I think it was this morning, we were talking with a brother that's in construction, and he wants to get into chickens. Well, he said he really enjoys construction. He just loves his job. And I just about said, well, what in the world are you changing jobs for? Chickens stink. But then he said, the reason I'm making the change is I want to work with my family. Then I said, Lord bless you, brother. Lord bless you. But remember, you can't preach to the chickens. Somehow you need to find ways to be a fisher of men. So keep on raising chickens, but make sure that being a fisher of men is priority in your life. Somehow we all need to come to grips with that we're here on earth for more than just making a living, and even for more than just raising our families. I've always said that I would love to be an Amishman, because Amish, the lifestyle, is something that I've always appreciated. But if I were an Amish living in a large Amish community, I've told my wife many times, we go to see her relatives in Kelowna, Iowa, and most of her relatives are Amish, and we enjoy it. We really enjoy to go there. There's Amish there that are spiritual, by the way. But I always say that probably nights I'd have a hard time sleeping, because I've heard the cry. I've heard the cry of the lost souls in this world, and I could never be an Amishman. We are called to be fishers of men. It's a calling that God has given to each one of his children. And later I'm going to get more practical on some of this, and I want the sisters to listen on ways that they can reach out. But tonight we're just going to look at some scriptures here. Let's follow me to the book of Romans, chapter 1, displaying a little bit here why we are fishers of men. What's going on here? Why do I have to be concerned about others? Why do I have to worry about my neighbor or the fellow down there in the slums or the stranger or people that live in other countries? Why is that my problem? Why can't I just be a Christian and enjoy life and enjoy my family? The Apostle Paul explained it real well in Romans 1, verse 14. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? Are you ashamed to tell somebody about Jesus? Are you ashamed at the airport to open your mouth? We all are sometimes. It's hard to open our mouths. It's hard to break the ice with strangers. I sit beside I sat beside one of these, what's the name of this people I mentioned? Mormons. I sat beside one of the Mormons, and I had struck up a conversation with the other one that looked like twins. And I said, are you twins? To the one, as we were just ready to get in line to go to the airplane, and he said, no, I was born in Utah. He was born in Hawaii. They're not even related. Well, then later, I had the privilege of sitting beside the twin, the other one, and I thought about it. You know, I should strike up a conversation with this man, and I confess that I didn't. One of the reasons is that I know that Mormons are really hard to witness to, so that's my excuse. But we had a real nice flight, my wife and I, and we had a really good time. But here again, see, we're selfish, and we enjoy this. That's fine. I love my wife. I love to travel with her. By the way, thanks for paying whoever paid her ticket to come along, because that's a tremendous blessing for me to have her here, and we're enjoying every minute of it. But it's like the Spirit kind of prompted me to strike up a conversation with the twin. I could have said, hey, how's life in Hawaii? I could have just really caught it real quick there. How do you know I'm from Hawaii? Well, you're twin said that. Oh, no, it's not your twin. I felt a little nudge, but brethren, I didn't do it. That's a confession. Fishers of men, watching for opportunities. Am I ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Maybe I was afraid to argue with a Mormon. But now back to verse 14. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Is that just the Apostle Paul? Is that just the ministers, the preachers, or the evangelists? We're all debtors. We're back to the pond, right? We have been recipients of the love of Christ. And whoever is a recipient of the love of Christ has a debt to pay. And it's not something that, you know, our creditors aren't there just pouncing on us. No, we want to pay the debt because we remember what it cost for Jesus to die for our sins. We remember how precious salvation is and how great the gift is of God's mercy when he looked down upon us like we heard last night. So Paul says, I'm a debtor. I've got a debt to pay. Somebody loved me. Somebody reached down into the darkness and found me. And I was so bad, I was persecuting the church. I was a horrible sinner. I was proud. Somebody touched me. The Lord Jesus Christ himself on the way to Damascus. And Ananias, dear Ananias, can you believe it? Ananias going in there and putting his hands on that man, knowing perfectly well who he was. But Jesus told him, he said, don't be afraid, because he's praying. He's praying. And Ananias says, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. And he goes and he touches the life of a man that was so fearful that every Christian feared him and trembled when he heard the name. But Ananias went and laid his hands on him and prayed for him. He's a fisher of men. It's a debt that we owe because we have been given so much. We want to pay back the debt, and we gladly reach out and share those things that Jesus gave to us. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul again, I think here's a little woe. I mean, it's not a little woe. It's a big woe. But I think, again, it was not just the Apostle Paul that has this woe. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That woe is just simply for each one of us who selfishly hoard the blessings that God has given us and don't want to share. There's a woe there that I think we should avoid. And we avoid it by following Christ and becoming fishers of men. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. This is my favorite portion of scripture as relating to outreach. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Do we believe that, brethren? Do we believe that every single human being someday is going to stand before the judgment seat? And that someday that person has to give account for what he did on this earth? Absolutely. We believe it. And then that takes us to the next verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. We know the terror of God, and that's